Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Buyer's remorse. Was that appliance we bought the best choice? When it comes to marriage, there's no place for buyer's remorse. We have to let go of what might have been and honor the commitment we've made, as the vow says, for better or for worse. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on what marriage is and isn't.
You remember years ago I told you a story about a man who was walking through a psych ward, and he got to the first room, and there was a man banging his head against a padded cell. And he said to the manager, "What's his problem?" And he said, "Well, he was madly in love with Matilda. And Matilda jilted him, and he can't handle it, so all day long he just bangs his head against the wall. Matilda, how could you do it? Matilda, how could you do it?" When they got to the end of the aisle, they noticed that there was another man in a padded cell banging his head against the wall saying, "Matilda, how could you do it? Matilda, how could you do it?" The guy said, "What's his problem?" He said, "Well, he's the one who married Matilda." The minute your fantasies begin to think about what could have been, you're on very, very dangerous ground. So now there's this couple who says, "Well, we don't need that piece of paper." Mixed messages are being sent. On the one hand, "I love you so much, I want to be with you." On the other hand, another message is being sent, namely, "But I want to keep an escape hatch. I want to make sure that I can get out of this with a lot of trouble just in case you and I can't work it out." Now let's go on to the next thing that the Bible mentions, and the implications of that reasoning will be even more clear. He says, "Leave father and mother, be joined together, and they shall become one flesh." Now we come to a very, very mysterious teaching in the Bible. And I don't have time to go into it except to say that the one flesh relationship is to mirror God. In fact, Paul says in the book of Ephesians that men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. The marriage is to mirror God, mirror Jesus Christ's relationship to the church. And it's not as if the Apostle Paul thought, "I need an illustration for loving Christ and Christ's relationship to the church. Let me use marriage." The intention of marriage is to mirror God. And the oneness that comes through intimacy, through sexual intimacy, is not just a physical, biological experience. It is really a metaphysical experience. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that even if you have a relationship with a prostitute where there is no commitment, no love, nothing, just raw lust, he says, you're already one body. Wow. The implications of that, which I preached on in previous times, are huge. It's the most important verse in all the Bible. It teaches you more about sexuality than all the books on the shelves of our bookstores right there. God says, you become one flesh, body, soul, and spirit. But if you do it without a covenant, if you do it without commitment, you are really involved in a one-flesh relationship, but you aren't married. And furthermore, it is an unholy relationship. The only holy relationship is the relationship that you have by the protection of the covenant, a relationship that is totally and completely dependent upon this covenant. And by the way, I was going to give the illustration of Robertson McQuilkin regarding the covenant. His wife Muriel had Alzheimer's, and he decided to resign the presidency of Columbia College of Bible just to take care of her full time. The board said, no, we need you there. You can always hire someone else to take care. In fact, she won't know who's taking care of her anyway. But he said it was no decision at all. He said it was very clear. I'd made the promise, till death do us part. And he said that he would take care of her, and he did, until she died years later. Could I give you just one line of what he said? As I watched her descend into oblivion, Muriel is the joy of my life. Daily I discern new manifestations of the kind of person she is, the wife I always loved. I also see fresh manifestations of God's love and grace, the God I long to love more fully. That's what it means, till death do us part. That's the covenant that you make when you get married. Now here's this couple who says, we don't need that kind of a covenant so that we can escape and get out of this. And it is an unholy relationship. Two men together cannot be one flesh. Two women together in a sexual relationship cannot be one flesh. It is the man and it is the woman brought together by God, as indicated here in this passage of Scripture, that become one flesh. And that means that their relationship is not just physical, but metaphysical. In fact, you know that the word one that is used there is the word when God speaks about being one, for the oneness of the Trinity. And how do those relationships end? Those unholy relationships. You see, people get it backwards. They think, well, you know, we can have the one flesh relationship here, and we can be intimate, and then let's work backwards, and then we can decide whether or not we want a covenant and whether or not we are going to leave and cleave. Occasionally, those kinds of marriages work out, but with huge difficulty. Why? Because those kinds of relationships are sown in the soil of deep disappointment, hurt, and mistrust. And almost always they end by blaming, by shaming. It's your fault. You talked me into it. No, it isn't. But look at what you did. Yada, yada, yada. And on it goes. Why? Because unholy relationships, though they have a sense of oneness, are not blessed by God. You see, it's within the confines of the sacred space that we call marriage. It is within those confines that you have the blessing of God. And that's why it says in the book of Hebrews, the marriage bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God takes it very, very seriously. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, you're going to give us some hope. I think it's time for us to talk turkey in terms of where do we go from here. Thank you so much for asking. I can already see it in your minds. Folks, it's not possible to have a better marriage until you have a better heart. That's the key. You know, I could stand up here and I could tell you about five new ways to communicate, and that would last for about 2 days. Maybe when you get home, maybe tomorrow. Maybe it would carry over till tomorrow. But then, you know, you'd forget about it, and a day or two later, you'd be back where you were, because we always go back to the default position. So oftentimes those kinds of changes are surface changes. What kind of a heart if we're going to have a good marriage? Remember, my desire is to help people with good marriages become better, bad marriages to become good. Well, what kind of a heart? First of all, you need a new heart. Even in the Old Testament, it says this, a new heart I will give you. I'll take from you the heart of stone. Do you have today a heart of stone? You are angry. You believe that you have been the victim of so much injustice, that your heart is hard toward God, toward your mate, maybe even toward your family. And the Bible says, a new heart I will give you. Now that's the gospel. Jesus said, except you be born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. And it has to do with the fact that Jesus died on the cross, not just to take our sin away, but to make us new creatures. We are new creatures in Christ. There's actually a miracle that takes place within us that is called the new birth. If you've not experienced that, you have never understood the wonder of God's forgiveness. And you may like Christ, you may even worship Christ in your own way, but in your heart of hearts, you've never been changed by God. And that comes with it, a change of desire. So cry up to God to receive the good gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. You and I need, first of all, we need a new heart. Secondly, we need an honest heart, an honest heart. This is where it gets difficult. It's possible to have a new heart and you're still not honest. So in your marriage relationships, you have all of these ghosts that are never addressed. There are people who have been married for 25 or 30 years and they have never addressed all of the issues that divide them. So they methodically go through, they live together in the same house, they may connect in many ways occasionally, but they already know. We don't talk about the relatives here. We don't talk about his father. We don't talk about his mother. We don't talk about her parents and the bad influence they have on our kids. We just don't go there. Couples, want to tell you, you have to go there. If you want not only a one soul relationship, but you want that relationship to spill over into a caring, sensitive, fulfilling relationship, you can't pretend that the past doesn't exist. That's why I've given you an assignment this week, couples. I'll tell you what it's going to be. I want you to get into a safe place, just the two of you, and I want you to discuss some of the questions that are there in the bulletin. Don't look now, but they're there. And ask yourself, to what extent have the relatives influenced us? To what extent have we not left father and mother? And what impact is that having on our family? Now, there's a good question to begin with. My friend, today, this is Pastor Lutzer. I hope that you don't give up on your marriage. I may be talking to somebody and your marriage is in trouble. Remember, God is able to intervene. Now, if you have a good marriage, I hope that you keep it that way, and whatever you do, don't take it for granted. Because across the landscape today, we find today so many homes are breaking up, even homes within our churches. And as a result of that, the children suffer. In fact, sometimes they suffer more than if mom or dad were to die. Oh, how we need the intervention of God. And that's why I preach this series of messages entitled Fighting for Your Family. And by the way, we are making it available as a video series along with a discussion guide so that it can be used in small groups. In fact, use it within your family to deal with these kinds of issues that are driving you apart. I pray that God will give unity where there is disunity, and I believe that He is able to do it. We're so appreciative of the fact that we are allowed to come into your homes, and I want you to stay tuned now for some very important information.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. We're hearing What Marriage Is and Isn't, another message on Fighting for Your Family. Next time, more on leaving our parents' authority and living with our mates in new homes without the meddling of relatives. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.